where we need to be today. Amen. If you're able to stand with me, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to read this chapter, or actually the first 22 verses of this chapter. And I know that's a little bit of a longer reading, and so if you can stand, fine. If you can, I certainly understand. But I want us to continue on. We've looked at chapter number 13, 12 and 13. We saw that last week that love endures forever because love never fails. Isn't that a blessing? And then he goes on to say, and beginning in verse number 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Everybody see that? You know what God is saying here in these first five verses? Well, let me just go on to say verse number 5. It says this, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. You know what God is telling us through the Apostle Paul here? He is telling us that preaching takes the preeminence over everything else. And of course, we see this idea of tongues, and we've already looked at what tongues mean and what it doesn't mean. And even verse number 22 tells us that tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, for them that believe. So I want you to also look at this, verse number 6 through verse number 10, and then I believe I'll stop there, and then we'll look at this as we go through it. Verse number 6 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, and praise God we have the complete revelation, or by knowledge, and God's word is knowledge, or by prophesying, and that for today is the preaching of God's word, stay with me, or by doctrine is where we learn our doctrine is from the word of God. Amen. Don't tell me doctrine is not important. It's Bible teaching, of course it's important. And the revelation of God is important. And the idea that understanding is important. What good would it do if I stood up and started speaking Spanish? There'd be two people that would understand what I was saying in this room this morning. And that wouldn't edify the church. The church is edified by preaching the Word of God. And then he says, verse 7, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak unto the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Now that goes to show you that he's talking about known languages. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, verse 11 says, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. I wonder if you've ever been to a country where you didn't understand the language. It's weird. To me, it's stressful. It was very stressful for me. I was in Germany for about 14 days, and I got stressed out because I could not understand what was going on. It did me no good for that person to tell me whatever it is they were telling me because I couldn't understand what they were saying. So, verse number 13 says, or verse number 12 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. This idea of edification of the church keeps coming over and over and over and over. And how that is done, listen to me, is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Now I want to read one more verse and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 19. Yet in the church, Paul says this, in the church, and we're in a church setting right now, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now the charismatic movement and the tongue movement today, I'm not here to preach about that, I've already done it. But if you just read chapter 14, much of this stuff that's going on today would be thrown out the window. Especially when you look at verse 22 and verse number 19 and the sounds of the voices and all that kind of stuff. And so we know from the Word of God that if somebody speaks to me in a language that's known, but yet I don't know the language, to me it's an unknown language. That's what he's talking about here. And they were thinking that they were very spiritually minded. It was so spiritual to be able to speak in tongues. And Paul's not going to tell them they can't speak in tongues, but here's what he's going to say. Preaching takes preeminence. Preaching takes preeminence. Father, we pray this morning as we continue through this book of 1 Corinthians, a book that really shows us an unholy people living, holy people living in an unholy world. And divisions, sin in the church, things that were going on that had no business being there. And Paul, in his love toward this congregation, was trying to write to them under the inspiration of the Spirit of God to let them know that things needed to be in order. Things needed to be done in order. Sin needed to be dealt with. The church needed to mature through love, edification. They needed to be unified. But they also, at the same time, Paul let them know that diversity is very real in any church because we're all different. We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different gifts. We all have different spiritual gifts that You have imparted upon us. And Lord, our gift, whatever that might be, whether it be spiritual, natural, an ability to communicate or administer or whatever it might be, to be able to give. Lord, it is not to be done with personal self-gratification, but rather it's to be done in the edification of the church. God, help us this morning as we looked at what Paul is preaching to us today, and that is that preaching is to take the forefront in any situation of a church setting. Help me, Lord, to communicate Your truth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Without going back and re-preaching the message 2 weeks ago about love being maturity, and then looking at really verse number 8 that tells us of chapter number 13, that charity never faileth. Charity is never going to fail. Did you know that one day preaching will stop? You understand that? One day there'll be the last message. There'll be no more messages. There'll be no more tongues. Knowledge will vanish away. But he also says that when the time comes that the completion of the Word of God is complete, there are no need any longer for sign gifts. There's no need for healings or miracles. There will be no need to authenticate the Word of God when we actually have the Word of God. And can I say this morning that if I did not believe that I preached from an inerrant, infallible Word of God, I'd go get a job and do something else. But as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, as a God-called man to preach, I certainly believe that I'm preaching the Word of God. And I know that the Word of God has changed my life. And I know many people in this room that the Word of God has changed their life. And the preaching and the teaching and the reading and the digesting of the Scripture is what makes us what we need to be. Now, we're not everything we should be, but hopefully we are making our way towards maturity. We're making our way towards what we're supposed to be. And the way that we do that is to find out what the instructions tell us to do and then do it. Because it is one thing to be a hearer of the Word of God, but it's actually another thing to be a doer of the Word of God. So nothing is going to ever take the place of love. I think everybody needs to grab a hold of that. Love will never fail. Love covers the multitude of sins. And I want you to understand, right now Paul would say in verse 12, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know as even I am known. Is even also I am known. Now, abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, I want to remind you that one day, our faith and our hope will become sight. One day our faith and the things that we believe and the faith that we have in Christ and the salvation that we have, we are seated in heavenly places, the Bible says. And while we can't see that right now, one day our faith and our hope will be turned into sight. But listen to me, love never faileth. But the greatest of these is charity. So it would be very suitable that right after he says that in verse number 1, following that, he says this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So let me just remind you of some things before I get into this message today. You said we already have. I know, but I got other things I need to remind you of. Nothing can take the place of love. All right? And the previous chapter, 13, makes that very clear. In fact, we have entitled 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. We have, I didn't do that. I just read it where people have given 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, and we're headed in that direction. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. So love matures us, and there can be no unity, no way will there ever be unity unless there's love one for another. This just can't happen. So there's no unity without maturity. To love well, use your gifts to edify the church. Now that's a theme that we've seen in the reading that we've read. Now I want you to think, just stay with me. To love well means using your gifts to the edification of the church. Alright? To use your gifts to edify the church, love well. Everybody get that? That's called a roundabout. We're having a roundabout built in our community right now, right where I live, where Farm Road 146 and 129 meet. I was thinking about this. Sheila Price lives on Farm Road 129. And I live on 129. I mean, my house is right next to 129, except she lives a lot further north. And I'm thinking, as the crow flies... Here we go, brother. It's one of them days. As the crow would fly, I could get to her house a lot quicker if I didn't have to drive all them crooked roads to get to her house. So listen to this again. To love well, use your gifts to edify the church. To use your gifts to edify the church, love well. That maybe I call it a roundabout. It might be called an interconnect. But there's also roundabouts of life or interconnects of life or circles of life, if we could use that. I'm not sure that's a good term. So let me give you an example. If you want to be good at waiting, and every man has to learn how to be good at waiting, you need to grow in your patience. If you want to grow in your patience, then you need to practice it by waiting. That's a roundabout. If you want to have compassion towards others, listen to this. Isn't it amazing that people want others to have compassion toward them, but in many instances, they fail to have compassion toward others. But if you want to have compassion toward others, you're going to have to be more selfless. If you want to be more selfless, then you need to show compassion toward others. You see how this works? Love, in other words, according to the text and what we're reading here, love causes us to use our gifts to edify, to build up the church. And to edify the church with our gifts, it has to be done because we love. Now, the reason that I want you to understand this observation is, Paul is observing that they were neglecting the preaching, and they were giving the wrong emphasis on tongues. And the way that I look at it, it was a self thing over a body thing. And what I mean by that is the church, the local visible assembly of baptized believers, is called a body of Christ. They were more concerned about their self-interest and using their gifts to edify themselves than they were the edification of the people that were before them. And what was going on in this church was that people were emphasizing their own personal edification and they were neglecting the church. After all, they were all members of the same body. And if you're looking to build yourself up instead of building the church up, there's really no love. You may say you love, and you may act like you love, and you may think that you love, but you don't love. So don't say that you do. If you're not using the gifts and the talents and the abilities to build the church up. The church is a place that we should be able to come and enjoy. Not a place of strife, not a place of indifference, a place of love, a place of edification, a place where the Word of God can go forth in spirit and in truth, and that can make its way into the hearts of people so that we can be changed in the image of Christ for the glory of God and not for the glory of self. Somebody say amen. So here's what I'm going to tell you what Paul is saying. He says several things here, but really the emphasis is on the first thing, these first five verses. And here's what Paul is really saying. Preaching is more important than tongues. In fact, I would say preaching should be the preeminence when it comes to a church service setting. Now, Lord willing, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, there's always going to be preaching. Or the teaching of the Word of God. And today we have sometimes people who lay aside those things for other things, whatever it might be. And you can fill in the blank. And I'm not going to fill in the blank because there's a lot of blanks to be filled in. Well, we're not going to have preaching, but we are going to have singing. Well, here I said I wasn't going to plug in and I'm doing it. I'm just saying to you, there's all kinds of things that people will emphasize in a church setting rather than the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And Paul is saying, well, listen, you guys are emphasizing tongues. I think you need to emphasize prophecy. And prophecy for today is the preaching of God's Word. So I want you to understand that prophecy here is not so much about predicting the future, but to have how to behave in the present. Now, we know in the Old Testament, there was the Old Testament prophets that would reveal and tell things, thus saith the Lord, that a child shall conceive, or that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And then we get into the New Testament and we see those prophecies that the old-timey preacher or the old-timey prophecy gave. They gave a Word of God. Now listen to me. We have the Word of God. I am so glad to read Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and to listen to those men and what they had to go through. But I'm also grateful that as a New Testament preacher, our responsibility is preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Just expose the Bible. And that's why Paul is saying here, listen, you guys need to get your emphasis off of other things like tongues and self-gratification and self-edification and get back to the preaching of God's Word, because it is preaching that will comfort people. It is preaching that will exhort people. It is preaching that will edify people. And I'm telling you, my friend, preaching is different than teaching. Preaching is proclaiming the Word of God and then asking people to make a decision based on what they just heard. That's the preaching of God's Word. And I want you to understand that the gift of prophecy where we are this morning is the preaching of the Word of God. And can I say this? It is a very important gift. If a man of God is called to preach, and by the way, I still believe that God calls men to preach. I believe that with all my heart. I just believe that there's not as many people heeding the call of God in their life to preach. But if God calls a man to preach, He's going to put within him the gift and the ability to preach, to proclaim the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that that gift doesn't have to be worked on. Just like I know people that have the gift of playing the piano. But when they first started out, I'm not sure that you could call that piano playing. But eventually, They worked on that, and they are gifted in the sense that they can play a piano. And I love people that are gifted to play the piano or the violin, also known as the fiddle where I come from. You can call it a violin. Brother Ray called it a violin. We used to argue about me and Brother Ray. I said, "That's a fiddle." He said, "No, brother, that's a violin." I said, "Well, where the music I heard out of it, it's a fiddle." He goes, "Well, I'll agree with that." Why is the gift of preaching an important thing? Because God's Word changes lives. If I didn't believe that, I'd go do something else. And the preaching of the Word of God calls us to a decision to be made. Every time the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, the death, the burial, the resurrection, Romans said it is the power of God unto salvation. Every time the gospel is explained, there is the very likelihood of somebody being lost and the conviction of God's Word entering into their heart. But they can't be saved just because they're convicted. They have to repent and turn and trust Christ as their Savior. And when they do, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. They're saved by the grace of God. Their life is changed. They begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and they become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is making a decision based on what is being preached. Tongues, on the other hand, what Paul is talking about here, they have no value if you're only speaking to yourself. There's no value whatsoever. I doubt anybody in here could speak Mandarin Chinese language. But if God gave me the ability to speak that, which He's not, because we have God's Word complete, I just want to make sure you understand in the context of where they're at, because people were given the ability. We read that on the day of Pentecost. People got up. The gift of tongues came on. They begin to hear the Word of God preached in their own language. That's tongues. But by the time you get to this point in time, there is not as much a need, but yet there is still the need. But you cannot have the gift and the ability to speak tongues and stand up and begin to speak and nobody understands it. And if nobody understands it, it's just like words in the air. And there's no edification and there is nothing, there is no value in it at all. Preaching the Word of God causes people, according to what we read in verse number 3, to be edified, to be exhorted, and to be comforted. I don't know about you, but have you ever been maybe in a service, you've been in a church setting, and no matter what you've been going through that week, no matter what it might be, you get in there, the Word of God is open, it's preached. It's like, that's exactly what I needed. That's called God's Word being an edification to our life. You see, my friends, some things never change. You hear me? God doesn't change. The way of salvation is never going to change. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, "I am the way, one way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is John 14:6. Salvation doesn't change. God doesn't change. The Bible does not change. Did you hear me? Bible doesn't change. Men change. Philosophies change. Ministries change. God's Word doesn't change. And here's another one. The need for preaching does not change. It does not change. No matter what the society is, no matter what society says, no matter what society wants. Well, preacher, I go to a church that, you know, they decided to ask people what they really needed and wanted in a church. No. Time out. People need God's Word. People need God's Word so that men can deal with their sin, that men can repent and be saved, that men can be edified and comforted. And again, how many times has a church service preaching been exactly what you needed at that very time? That's God. That's God. Unknown tongue means it is unknown to those who don't know what is being said. And if someone had the gift of tongues today and they don't, because it was a sign gift to unbelievers to hear the Word of God in their own language, verse 22, let me show you again. And if it was a different language than English, and they stood up and spoke, they would only be talking to themselves. That's what I was going to say. If I spoke Chinese Mandarin language right now, everybody would be going, "Well, that guy's crazy. That guy's nuts." Preaching is supposed to be to everybody so they can understand. doesn't mean that we won't be uncomfortable. I've been in church services where the Word of God was being preached and the Spirit of God spake to me through the Word of God and I was convicted about sin. I was convicted. Sometimes our sin is not just the sin of what we're doing. Sometimes our sin is the sin of what we're not doing. And preaching is to everybody, and all preaching should edify. Notice verse number 5 with me. Now I'm going to look at these. He said this, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Now what that means is, Paul is not denying them the gift of tongues. He's not denying them the ability to do that. But he goes on to say, but rather, in other words, more importantly, but rather that you prophesy, listen to this, for greater is he that prophesy than he that speaketh with tongues, unless there was an interpretation of that tongues, that the church could be or receive edification. You know what Paul is saying? That preaching in church should take the preeminence. It does not mean that we do not sing. It does not mean that we don't take up an offering. It does not mean that we don't do all kinds of things that we should, prayer, such as that. But there should be the preaching. I was thinking about this many years ago. I've probably told this story because, I'm not that old. So I only have a few stories. I received a phone call from a church saying that they were interested in me maybe being their pastor. And I said, well, sir, that might flatter me, but I said, I don't know the church. You don't know me. He goes, oh, yeah, we've listened to 10 of your tapes. I said, well, that's still, okay, you've listened to me preach 10 times. Later on, I found out it was my mother who sent him the tapes. For unbelievable. Is that not like some mother to do something like that? So I said, well, sir, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. And I'm employing in my life right now. I feel like I'm not that I wouldn't pray about it, but I just feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I've got peace with God. This is where I'm supposed to be. And such as that. And I said, I pray about it. I prayed about it. And I called the guy back and I said, I really don't believe I'm the candidate for you. But later on, maybe like 3-4 months later, we were actually going to be in that area. And normally I'm normally in church on Sunday preaching or I'm here. It's very rare that, and it's a good thing that every once in a while that I take a Sunday off from preaching. But many times I'm either preaching or I'm here preaching or I'm here at church. So we were going to actually at this time be in that area and we did not have a service that we were going to be at and we were not going to be anywhere in church. So I said, let's just go to that church that had called me. I said, however, I said, don't tell them, don't fill out no cards, don't tell them who we are. We'll just go in, how you doing, shake your hand, and we'll sit through a service. And we sat through a service, and after sitting through that service, I realized I knew why God would not ever allow me to be the preacher there. Because we got in the car, my wife said, one sermon from you, a Bible sermon from you, the church would go haywire. And the reason I say that is because in that church service, the emphasis was not on preaching. The emphasis was on the music. And there's nothing wrong with music. Now, first of all, just so you'll know what I'm talking about philosophy-wise, first thing that happened was is the song leader got up and said, well, if anybody wants to be in the choir, just come on up. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up right there. No organization, no practice. Didn't matter if you were a member or not. And it does matter to me. And that, and the whole place. And then for the next 35 minutes, they had singing and they had choir singing and with no practice, no order. Everybody with me? Can you see Pastor Abel's? I'm breaking out in hives. And then after that, they had special music for another 20 minutes. So we'd been there for an hour, almost an hour. And it was music. Nothing wrong with music. I think music is great. But it was limited. The preaching was limited to 10 to 15 minutes. And that's the way the church service was ran. And you know what I thought of? 1 Corinthians 14. Except of tongues, I stuck in music there. And there was nothing wrong with tongues. He did not... He did not tell them that that was not a part. He just said that's not the main part. And I want you to understand, Paul for this church at this time, again, is not denying them the gift of tongues. But here's what he's doing, folks. He is stressing that even when tongues was used, that preaching is more valuable. Therefore, we should give preference to preaching. Now, I just want to say this out loud. If that was true then, why would it not be true now? If it was true when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 14 and telling them this, why would it not be true today? And again, not programs or singing, but preaching, because that's what people need. Now, just stay with me, because I'll show you a great application that comes in here in just a minute. Now, let me just say this. Paul told the Romans he was not ashamed of the gospel because it was the power of God unto salvation. And if the gospel, including the resurrection that we'll focus on in chapter 15, because the truth is the gospel is the message that we preach. Drop down to chapter 15. I want you to see this. Now again, after chapter 14 comes chapter 15. And in chapter 14, he is giving the preeminence of preaching over tongues. And it is amazing that in verse number 15, he begins to talk about the gospel. Because listen to me, the gospel is what we're to preach. He says in verse number 15, chapter 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I..." What did he do to them? What does it say? "Preached unto them." Listen, these Corinthian believers, they got saved because Paul was determined not to know anything except Jesus and Him crucified and risen again. And the message that Paul preached was the gospel. And many Corinthians were saved. And they were saved out of all kinds of things, according to several verses in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said in verse number 3, "I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day." Look at this. "According to the Scriptures." Now I want to say, praise God, He was seen of Cephas, and He was seen of 500 brethren, but you don't even have to have an eyewitness. If you've got the witness of the Word of God, that's good enough. But he did go on to say, hey, Cephas saw him, the apostles saw him, he was dead, he was in the tomb, he rose out of the tomb, and because of that, the power of the gospel is real. And my friend, you can put your trust in Christ, in the gospel, and be saved, gloriously saved. The gospel is our message. People today still need to be saved by God's power and God's grace. And that's why Paul told Timothy in one of his last challenges to him, preach the Word. If you're not here today without Christ, if you're here today without Christ, you need the gospel. You don't need governmental help. You need the gospel. You need to be saved. Now I want you to see the second thing. You said, well, I thought one was enough. No, there's a second thing here. And that is this. In verse 6 through 17, he's going to basically make them understand that preaching is the preeminence, because here's what he's going to tell them. Tongues alone is not profitable for understanding. Tongues alone is not profitable for understanding. 8 times Paul uses the word understanding. I'm going to look at it real quick. In verse number 8, he says, "If a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" So uncertain. He uses the word an uncertain sound. In verse number 14, he says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15, "I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding." Now, here's what Paul is saying. There has to be an understanding of what is being said. In preaching, you can understand what is being said. In tongues, if there's not an interpreter or somebody can't understand what's being said, there is no understanding. It is not enough to preach Because the people must receive it. Now, I want you to think about this, and then I'll give you a personal illustration that happened to me a long time ago. How many times in the gospel do we see Jesus doing miracles? A lot. Healing the leper. And raising the dead. And people still didn't believe. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told a story about a rich man that he died and went to hell. It's not a parable, it's a story. Then he tells about this man named Lazarus who was a beggar. And he laid at the he was a beggar and he laid at the gate. And Jesus said, now during the lifetime of the rich man, he had everything he needed. He had his garments, his clothing, his food, his living conditions were amazing. But he never accepted Christ. He said, the poor man beggar Lazarus, he did receive Christ. He did believe God. And so Jesus said that one went to hell and one went to paradise. And there was this great gulf fixed in paradise in the center of the earth before Jesus Christ led captivity captive, when he took those people out of that prison, if you would, and took them into heaven, so that now he put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, the heavenly tabernacle, so that now if somebody dies and they're saved, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right? But at that time, there was this great gulf fixed. And on one side was torment, hell. The other side was paradise. And Jesus Christ is telling this story. And he says that the rich man called over to Lazarus and said, can somebody dip their finger in just a little bit of water and cool my tongue? And Abraham said, no, it's not possible. He said, you had your chance. And by the way, you have your chance to accept the gospel. And if you don't accept the gospel and you die without Christ, you will go to hell. Period. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Doesn't matter what your religious affiliation is, it must be a personal relationship with God. So then finally the rich man says to Abraham, well, if there's no hope for me, and I'm paraphrasing this, though, so you can read it in Luke 16. Read it in Luke 16. He said, if there's no hope for me, can at least somebody go back? Can you have somebody go back and tell my five brothers? Can you have somebody go and see? Because this is what the rich man said. If they see somebody come back from the dead, they will believe. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus had performed miracles after miracles after miracles, and there were many people that did not believe. Now you got to listen to this, because this is why preaching is preeminent. Here's what Jesus Christ said through that story. He said, they won't believe if one come back from the dead. He said this, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, then they won't believe if somebody come back from the dead. Now, if God said that, it's true. And you know why He said that? Because He had raised the dead. And they still didn't believe. Right in front of the Pharisees' face. They would do miracles and He would say, you shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath day. Are you serious? He is the Lord of the Sabbath day. He just healed a man of palsy. He just healed a man at the fountain that was trying to get in the fountain, which was a pagan ritual. And Jesus came and He healed him and He preached. And they said, hey, you shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, well, if your donkey fell in the ditch, wouldn't you get it out on the Sabbath day? And I'd say healing somebody is greater than a donkey falling in a ditch. Would you agree with me with that? What's the emphasis here? The emphasis is that Jesus authenticated the message as the messenger of God, and they still wouldn't believe. Well, preacher, what does that have to do with us? Well, let me just tell you. The seed that is received in good ground is the seed that bears fruit. Verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? It's pretty clear here about what is profitable. Our preaching must be known. If you want to be edified through the preaching of God's Word, there's only one way that can happen. And that's to make sure your heart's ready when you come to church. And you can't do that sitting up all night playing video games. I remember a time when two different people spoke to me, and they, of course, these two people had no idea that they had spoke to me about the same service and the service that we had had preaching the Word of God, and I didn't even remember what the message was, but they both remember the message. And I remember that one said to me, "Well, you know, preacher, I didn't really get much out of that." They actually said that to me. And if you don't think people say that to me, well, they do sometimes. I mean, that used to really strike me hard maybe when I was 30. But now I'm just like, well, that's not my fault. If you didn't get anything out of the message, it ain't my fault. I preach the Word of God. But in that same message, I had a person who said to me, "Preacher, that message really made a difference in my heart. I went to the altar and I got right with God about some things, and I'm thinking, what was the difference?" Well, the difference was one was prepared to receive the Word of God, and one was not prepared to receive the Word of God. And here's what I want you to understand here in this text, that Paul used three simple illustrations to prove this point. There must be understanding. You must be willing to receive it. And you must understand what is being said. And if you are understanding what is being said, then there is a decision that has to be made in preaching, and you're either going to say yes to it or no to it, or get right with God or get saved. Everybody with me? That's why preaching is the preeminence. He uses three illustrations. Verse 7, he used a musical instrument. If it does not give a clear sound, how do you know what's being played? He gave another bugle call to battle in verse number 8. Was that a call to battle or was that a call to retreat? There must be a distinction in the military to know the difference in what the bugle calls were and what it meant. When I was in the military, when I was in boot camp, when I was in the basic training, son, I knew the difference between reveille and rest. Reveille means, oh man, here we go again. Rest, doo, 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 praise God. Maybe I'll get 5 hours of sleep uninterrupted. But you have to know the difference. And then he uses another one in verse number 9 and 10. And again, he uses everyday conversation. I thought about this one. My first trip to Australia was in 1984. I was asked by Brother Meredith to go there and preach a week-long meeting, and I ended up staying about 10, 12 days. And I want to tell you right now, they say that the Australians speak English. But it ain't the English that I speak of. And I got to talking to this guy one day, and he said, "Oh, you're a rule yank, eh, mate?" I was almost ready to fight the guy. He called me a Yankee. You don't call a boy from the South a Yankee. But all Americans are Yanks to the Australians. But because of my accent, he said, "You're a rule yank." But it doesn't matter if you both speak English, if you don't understand each other, if it don't give off a distinction, it can't be understood. When the Word of God is preached, listen to me, it must be understood. By the way, verse 10 makes it clear when Paul is speaking about tongues, he's speaking about known languages. Now we'll give you one more thing and we'll be done. And I don't know if I preached long or we sang long. But the preeminence of preaching should be here. Amen? Here's what I want you to get a hold of. Tongues has ceased and preaching is still going on. Tongues has ceased and preaching is still going on. If you don't go to a church that preaches, you're not going to the right church. We have God's Word that must be preached. Now, I don't want to go back too much, but in chapter 13, charity never faileth, prophecies, they shall fail, tongues they shall cease. But verse 10 says, that which is perfect is come, and I do believe with all my heart that's the Word of God, because they didn't have a complete inerrant Word of God at that time. They didn't have a complete revelation. We do. But I want you to understand, look at verse 16 and 17, public preaching. In a public preaching setting, I want you to see this. And we're in a public preaching setting right now. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now let me give you a couple of things. Number one, how can a person say amen if they don't understand what is being said? And the idea of Paul presenting is tongues had an understanding problem. Because if what they were saying is not understood by it being interpreted, then it just becomes a bunch of words not understood. And then I begin to think about verse number 19. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay. Paul said that it would be better to speak five words with understanding than 10,000 of not understanding. And here's what I came up with. Don't you wish sometimes the preacher only had five words to say? Well, I thought about that, and if God only gave me five words today, I think the message should be this. God loves you, Jesus saves. And then give an invitation. Because to that, today, that would be better than speaking in tongues and nobody understanding. So here's what I want you to get a hold of this morning. The preaching of the Word of God is more important than some personal religious experience. Now I'm going to put it in today. Because there's a bunch of people today that thinks tongues are for today. And it's not. I get that clear. But they think it is. And I've sat across from them and they've told me about their personal religious experience. And here's what I say. Is the truth more important than an experience? And they believe that experience is more important than the truth. And you know what? They're not understanding. So preaching the Word of God is more important. Preaching benefits the church. Preaching takes precedence over your personal desires. The preaching of the gospel is the message of the church. People cannot become disciples of Jesus until they are first saved by the gospel. Preaching takes precedence over everything in the church. Why? Preaching the Bible changes us and molds us and makes us what God wants us to be. So as James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer. And when people come to church, they need to understand what is being said from the Bible. Make sure the Bible is presented with clarity. The preaching of the gospel must allow the non-Christian to recognize his condition through God's preached word. And we are charged to present a preaching message that can cause conviction to those who are ignorant of who Jesus is. Look at verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that which believe. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and they all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, what will they not say? Ye are mad. That's why we only have one person preaching at a time. And only one person praying at a time. I went to a preacher's meeting one time and they said, let us pray, and they all did. And I thought it was crazy. For 55 years, Berean Baptist Church has put a premium on preaching. I learned it right here as a member. We don't take surveys to ask people what they want. We just go to the Bible and tell them what they need. We are sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And as sinners, we need to eat the Word of God, digest the Word of God, live the Word of God. I got saved because I heard Bible preaching from a man named Wally Williams. Back in April of 1984, I was 24 years old, and the Word of God was preached. And conviction came into my soul. I wished I could say I ran down the aisle that morning and I got saved. I didn't, but the conviction didn't stop. And that night, in my own house, I got on my knees and I repented and I trusted Christ as my Savior. My life has never been the same. I made changes because I heard Bible preaching. I got doctrine poured into my life through the preaching of God's Word. And I believe now the same things I believed when I was 25 years old. I preach the same Bible I preached from when I began to pastor at 29 years old. The gospel still works. Church is still important. Preaching the Word of God still results in lives being changed and the making of the disciples. You know why? Because the gospel has not changed. And every time we come to church, we need to hear God's Word. And we need to hear, hey, whatever gift we have, we need to make sure that the emphasis is on the preaching. Yes, we need to use our gift for the edification of the church, not for personal gratification, but that people might lives might be changed. Hey, if you don't go to, if a church doesn't preach sin, salvation, separation, hey, there's a problem. God doesn't just save us to, so we can go sit in a pew somewhere. No, He saves us that we might be disciples. And disciples have to deny themselves and die daily. They have to take up their cross and follow Him. These are all things that are not very popular in the everyday American lifestyle. Doesn't matter. We're disciples. We belong to Him. And the preaching of the Word of God helps us to be reminded of who we are and what we need. And if you're not saved, you need the gospel. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to thank you for listening. You're very good listeners this morning. I know the message was a little bit longer, but it should be when you're given the preeminence to preaching. What is important? And you may be here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never been saved. I do not know Christ as my Savior.